Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The line right now, USA Today columnist Dan Wolkin, and Woodsy, you can attest to this. How often, I mean, we've been doing the show together for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
How often do I actually just like literally read a column on the air?
Pretty rare.
But I went like six paragraphs deep because I loved what he wrote in USA Today yesterday about LeBron's comments on the China Daryl Morey tweet situation. And Dan joins us right now. It's good to have him here on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, so how surprised were you? Because this is what blew my mind. That given a week, knowing that when he gets back to the United States, it's going to be the first thing that reporters ask, that LeBron James didn't have a better crafted statement to get out in front of this and, you know, shape public perception in a way that LeBron usually does so well when it comes to issues like this.
Yeah, definitely not a great job by his team or whoever was advising him. You would think that you would have a very well thought out statement ready to go that would kind of dial the heat down a little bit. I think there was a lane for LeBron to kind of play both sides of this and kind of end the issue, at least for now. But he really kind of inflamed it because he was very, I thought, ham-handed in the way he went about it. The words that he used, uneducated, talking about Daryl Morey, kind of came off the wrong way. And I think the biggest problem that I had with it is he made it all about him. And look, Daryl Morey with the tweet obviously caused a huge issue for the NBA and its relationship with China. We now, I think, are very clear about some of the implications for American businesses of doing business there. It's a fact of life, and it's, I think, an uncomfortable thing for a lot of American companies to reckon with. But I think it would have been better off just saying, listen, I'm not going to talk about this because it messes with our money. You know, instead he kind of talked around it and kind of made himself look, I thought, a little bit weak and opened himself up to accusations that he's a hypocrite.
Talking to Dan Wolkin here from USA Today here on Ben and Woods. And I know legacy is a word that's thrown around a lot in sports. And what will be his legacy? And, you know, I think we could all agree LeBron is a little bit goofy at times. And you know, you have to sometimes take what these guys say. Yeah, he's kind of a goober sometimes, to be honest with you. And in no way should an athlete be anybody's moral compass. But, hey, he's a taxpayer. He gets to speak his mind as well. But how do you think this affects his legacy? He's obviously a guy that we could all agree has done more good than bad. Do you think this blows over for him, or is he kind of labeled a hypocrite for the rest of his life?
I don't know, because I think we're still in the middle of this story in a lot of ways, to be honest. I don't think this is the last time it's going to come up in terms of China and the NBA, and as the world becomes more complicated, and I don't think the Hong Kong issue is going away, and I don't think the NBA is going to stop trying to play games over there. It's still, I think, a very hot issue. And I think what LeBron did, though, is miscalculated how it would be received, because he has been the guy who was willing to take stands, who was willing to speak out against injustice and criticize the American government, American leaders. It's part of his brand, and I think a lot of us like that he does that, because a lot of times we agree with him. Maybe some people don't, but the point is, when you are the superstar athlete who is willing to accept whatever consequences, whatever cost may come with getting into the political arena, to then say when it comes to China and the issues in China, you know, that Daryl Morey and anyone who works for the NBA should not be critical of China at all. I think that just really is a bad place to be in as a guy who wants to present himself as more than an athlete.
It's interesting, Dan, because just a week ago, you were actually pretty praising of Adam Silver and how he didn't seem to back down. And, you know, he wasn't going to kowtow with an apology for someone else's tweet. You would think that that would be the role that a LeBron would play, whereas Adam Silver would probably be the guy you'd expect to be more, you know, apologetic, to preserve the business relationships. He almost gave cover to LeBron to say something a little more forceful on the subject, and LeBron didn't take advantage of that.
Well, LeBron's got a lot of his own agenda that he is trying to pursue in China. Obviously, the Nike element, and he's a huge spokesman for Nike. He's also, you know, had that Space Jam 2 movie coming out and wants to export that to a Chinese audience. And so there's a lot of financial issues at stake for him personally, not just for the league and salary cap and some of those deals if they were to come off the table. But, you know, I think that what Adam Silver did is the right way to approach this, which is to say, look, we want to be respectful of everyone we partner with. But at the same time, this is who we are as a league. This is what we're about. We've never been about trying to limit people to or trying to tell people to stick to sports. And so how can we present one thing to our American audience and yet something else to the rest of the world? I don't think that really works very well. And I think even as upset and mad as I'm sure a lot of people in the league offices were at Daryl Morey, to discipline him in any way or to try to censor him in any way, I think would have made the situation much worse than it was. So I think the league basically just kind of by drawing a line in the sand is saying, look, this is who we are. This is who we're going to be. If you don't want to do business with us anymore because of that, then it's your decision. Like that, I think that's the only way you can approach this if you're the NBA.
Dan, what's the fallout been like for you when you write a piece that's, you know, look, it was scathing. It was really, really well done. And you made really great points. And what's the, when you hit send on that and they tweet it out and you retweet it, what's it been like for you the last couple of days?
Well, a lot of people have read it, which is good. And I got, you know, asked yesterday to be interviewed to comment for the CBS Evening News, NBC Nightly News, which is not something that typically a sports columnist gets asked to do, because there's just not that many stories or issues from the sports world that penetrate into the mainstream non-sports media in that way. And you know, even though they only used about, I think, combined 12 seconds of sound from me, that was still kind of a surreal thing. And I've also had a lot of, I think, increase in the bot activity on Twitter. I've kind of noticed that. But overall, it's been good. I mean, you want to write high-impact pieces when you're a columnist. And I think that this was one that, for whatever reason, caught on. And a lot of people from both sides of the political spectrum seem to agree with.
Dan, you also write a lot about college football. We're in a situation where, once again, the top two ranked teams in the country not only are in the same conference, but they're in the same division of the same conference in Alabama and LSU. Do you see a scenario, and we've seen it before, where a team with one loss that doesn't make its conference championship game, much less win its own conference, could still get into the college football playoff here at the end of the season?
Yeah, they could, certainly. You know, and I also think the same thing could hold for, just as an example, Ohio State and Wisconsin, who are going to be playing each other in a couple weeks and also potentially playing each other in the Big Ten championship game. And if they split those, you know, who knows how that might play out. But I think ultimately, based on what we've seen from the committee in years past, undefeated gets you in. So I don't think a one-loss LSU team or a one-loss Alabama team would get in over Oklahoma if they were undefeated, or get in over Clemson if they were undefeated. But could they get in over a one-loss conference champion? Yeah, I think that's certainly possible.
Which one, when the Alabama and LSU Tigers, who's impressed you the most so far? Who do you think is the better team of those two?
As of today, I might pick LSU, although the game is in Tuscaloosa, and that's a huge factor. I think when that game gets played, it's going to be almost like a Big 12 game. I think Alabama's defense has real issues. Their linebackers are very young. There's not as much depth there as there's been in years past. They have not been overly impressive to me on that side of the football. Now, obviously, they can score. They've got the best group of receivers. They've got Tua. They can run the ball, although maybe not quite as good as in years past. But Alabama's going to score a bunch of points. But look at LSU and what they're going to do and what they did to Florida. So I think that that's a game where both teams are probably looking at scoring in the 40s. And so as of today, I think LSU's maybe looked a little bit better. That could change by, you know, a month from now. But it's a fascinating dynamic because both those teams – it is a long way from 2011 when that game was 9-6.
And last thing, Dan, baseball playoffs. We got the Washington Nationals headed to the World Series. And such an interesting team from a columnist perspective because it's so narrative with them. I mean, they were always the team that couldn't get over the hump in the playoffs. Now they finally do. But, boy, it took a couple of nail biters in the wild card and a five-game division series to do it. Then they just sweep aside the St. Louis Cardinals. What do we take from this team? I mean, what do you think about their chances against either the Yankees or the Astros now in the World Series?
Yeah, anytime a team kind of comes back from the brink, and they were down to what, their last couple outs in the wild card game and down a couple runs and were able to come back, and you look at what they did in the division series, it's living on the knife's edge. And whenever a team's able to do that, there is this kind of feeling of, hey, is it just their year? And that may be what we're dealing with here. They're playing their best at the right time. I think it's a tough matchup. Either one you play in the ALCS, Houston's very good. I think the Yankees are capable as well. But, yeah, you kind of get that sense that things are just kind of falling, breaking right for Washington. And it's given all the kind of playoff flameouts they've had over the years, it's pretty amazing to see.
Well, Dan, given that you were coveted by national news outlets yesterday, we do appreciate spending your time on just a little old radio station here in San Diego this morning. Really good. Thank you so much.
Enjoyed it. Thanks, guys.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.